Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is One Child to Be Survivor to Another Restoration. My name is Lori Smith, and it's Monday morning, February the 12th at 7:30 here in Calgary, Alberta. Glad to be here and just glad to be able to do these shows. I scheduled it for an hour, but I didn't really. I thought that I could do an hour because I used to have a paid account here, and it shows up that I could actually do an hour on my the little place where you actually create your shows here. And I really don't have an hour. I only have 30 minutes per day, unfortunately, because I can't afford to do the show paid right now. But so we can't do an hour, unfortunately. So we'll just do a half hour. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody who's been listening to the shows. That song is called The Calling. It's by Angel Wing. It's put out by XL Music Publishing. It's freemusicpublicdomain.com, and people are allowed to use it as long as you give credit where credit is due. So that's The Calling by Angel Wing, and I really like it. I think it's a beautiful song. So we'll get right into this today. The chat room's open if anybody wants to sit in there. And sometimes I don't have it open, but I do have it open this morning. And we're going to just continue on looking at an article from Havoca, H-A-V-O-C-A. Havoca, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, Information for Survivors, looking at grief and the different stages of grief, right? So that's what we're going to continue on with this morning. So we'll just do a safety checklist first. You know, if you're a survivor of abuse and you're just starting out on your healing journey, I always say this on all of my shows. It's very important. if you're just starting out on your healing journey, you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening to this so you can get that information all over the place. Just two places that I know of is one is at HVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HVOCA.org, as well as the ASCA, ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center program. They have a Survivor to Thriver manual, and there is a Safety First chapter in there called Safety First. It's the first chapter, and it's important to go through that information. I thought it was 60 pages long, but it's actually only about 17 pages long. But it's long enough, and it's good to get that information and know how to keep yourself safe so you don't hurt yourself or hurt somebody else around you. And so if you're not sure if you're safe enough to be listening to something like this, anything like this to do with abuse, and that it's not going to trigger you, you need to make sure that you're safe enough. If you're not sure, just turn the show off and go find out how to make sure that you're safe. And also, for other people who are listening, listen at your own discretion, because I'm talking about abuse, and it's a very sensitive subject, very sensitive topic, and so you have to know, what's good for you to listen to and make the ultimate good decision for yourself, right? So we'll get right into this. We left off looking at a section of grief last time. It was bargaining. That's where we left off. Now we're looking at the anger stage. So first there's five stages of grief, they said here, normal functioning, and then all of a sudden shock and denial, something, whatever the issue is that causes someone to be in these five stages of grief. The first one's shock and denial. Second one's anger. The third one is depression and detachment. The next one after that's dialogue and bargaining, and the next one is acceptance. They have them in the wrong order in their the way they present them. But that's, that's all right. It doesn't matter. It's just looking at these five stages and then, what we can do to return a meaningful life, right? So these are very important because a lot of people deal with grief, and I know I'm doing grief work. I need to do grief work. I've not done a whole lot of grief work. I've done some, but I need to do more grief work, and this is helpful for me, so hopefully it's helping you out. So we're going to pick up right where we left off there with looking at anger, which is the second stage after looking at shock and denial, which is avoidance, confusion, fear, numbness, blame. Anger then comes next, which is frustration, anxiety, irritation, embarrassment, shame. And so that's what we're looking at right now. So they said here, I'm just reading right from their page. You can go to HVOCA.org, HAVOCA, HVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse.org, and look under their information for survivors tab and under the grief section there. And then you'll see that there's we're on anger, so you can follow me there. Grief, the third stage is commonly anger. Anger comes when the person acknowledges not only that something happened, but that it was abusive and harmed them. It is the beginning of the phase that what has been done to them matters. For many, this stage is a welcome relief. The anger gives them a sense of power and energy over the abuse. Becoming angry is the first stage to accepting what has happened, and it is also the start of becoming a survivor, not a victim. Anger has been titled the backbone of healing. So when you have trouble getting in touch with your anger, think of someone you care about who is at the age you were when you were abused, such as a son or daughter, niece or nephew, and imagine that child being abused. Sometimes just saying, "I am angry," over and over again can help with the process of finding your anger. They say here, anger doesn't have to be confused with violence. Some people are afraid of showing anger for fear of becoming aggressive or violent. Some people are afraid that if they get angry, they may hurt themselves or others. And when these people experience anger for the first time, they are surprised that no one got hurt and realize that the two do not necessarily come hand in hand. So they say here, to get in touch with your anger, try writing a letter to someone stating what you have to be angry about, write how it has affected you, and how you have been mistreated. If you have a revenge fantasy, write about it. You will get relief, and at the same time, no one will get injured or hurt or frightened by your anger or thoughts. The dangerous thing to do to anger is suppress it. So they said here, release it any way you know how. For example, smashing glasses, tearing paper, working out, punching a pillow, punch bag, etc. Some victims become angry with everyone except the abuser. This is while they are coming to terms with feeling anger and testing it out. It is important for that person to rationally work through their feelings and direct their anger to, in the right place. So that's a brief snippet on anger, but it does give you a look at, I've actually looked a lot into anger stuff, anger management. I did a huge section here on Blog Talk Radio, looking at a website Dave Decker and Mike Obsatz put together called angerresources.com. Man, that I still go back there to that website. They have great information there. And it is really helpful for me because I know I was so angry. And so I didn't even know how to direct. I mean, I knew I didn't want to hurt myself and I didn't want to hurt other people, but I didn't know what to do with my anger. And I was just like, oh, I needed some help with it. So I went over and over that website. And I mean, I combed it. I went through all the information there. Very, very helpful. It's called angerresources.com by Dave Decker and Mike Obsatz. And I still go back there time to time to look at certain articles and read through some stuff because I'm still dealing with some anger. It's not rage like it used to be because I've been doing a whole lot of work on my with my inner children, which is really bizarre but true. And it helps, you know, a lot. But I still have some anger. I probably always will. And it's actually proper. I don't think it's okay to, for me, I don't think, you know, I'm going to be able to say, oh, I'm not angry anymore. It's just, it's a degree, you know. I'm not at such a huge degree of rage anymore, you know. I just have a basic okay anger, I think, that abuse is wrong. Abuse of an animal is wrong. Abuse of anything is wrong, and especially abuse of children is wrong. And abuse of anybody is wrong. I just don't, I don't like it. I don't think it's right. I don't like violence. I really, I'm one of these people that just doesn't like violence. And I think that if everybody would stop violating and hurting people, anybody, that would be great. We would have a lot less problems in this world, you know. But people just think they can go ahead and do this stuff and that, you know, the other person, I guess, deserves it, right? And so it's really, it's sad and disgusting that we're that way here on the earth. But children shouldn't have to suffer because of somebody's anger and somebody's, it's not even so much anger, a lot of times abuse. It's the caregivers or whoever the abuser is attempt to control and to control the situation, well, mainly, and their own inability and to find something that works better other than abuse. So whether it's physical, verbal, emotional, psychological, you know, whatever kind it is, they're using it as a tool, right? Abuse is a tool. And it's sad but true because the children, you know, they pay the price for that. It's so incredibly wrong. And so I like what they had to say here, you know, about this. It's a short little snippet, but it's pretty good. It's sort of one of the first stages is just acknowledging the abuse, you know, and the harm that was done. And that's kind of what I did at the beginning, was take a look at the damage done. I started writing about it in a blog, and then it went into the books. But I did a lot of work on this, reading through John Bradshaw's books, and also looking at Robert Burney's books, and Codependency, The Dance of Wounded Souls, Robert Burney, he's really good, as well as looking at this angerresources.com website, and worked through a lot of the anger part, and using this program called Your Envisioned Mind out of Australia with Beverly Searle. And that was that program really helped me out a lot. Got me in touch with my inner children, who were these wounded parts of myself from so long ago that needed to be rescued, first of all. And I needed to be able to get in touch with that part of myself from so long ago, who from these different stages of abuse, where that little child was just left in that traumatic moment and still had so much anger and so much fear, so much rage, and whatever the feelings were associated with that particular traumatization. And so, you know, whether it was CSA or physical abuse or just being afraid in the house or being afraid of my parents or being afraid of whatever situation. It's just horrific, you know. And so I had to go through and actually work with these inner children. That program helped me do that. That's called Your Envisioned Mind. Very, very helpful program because that really helped me get over a lot of my anger, as well as talking about what I needed to talk about here on Blog Talk Radio. This has been very helpful for me. It's a really cheap form of therapy is what it is. And it helped me out a lot because I got to say what I wanted to say, that abuse is wrong, and what my parents did to me was wrong, what my brother did to me was wrong, and, and go through and spend years talking about it. And that's what I've done here since 2009. So it's almost been 10 years. So it's been a long haul for sure. Or 2000, I don't forget when I started this, 2009, I think. It's a long time ago. So, yeah, getting in touch with it, I think that's the biggest part. And they're talking about, well, write a letter. I did that. I wrote a letter to all my abusers. I couldn't give it to them because they were all gone, except for my dad was still living. But I just showed him the book that I wrote and said, it's all in there. Every little bit of it, it's all there. And you can read it if you want to. He didn't want to read my book. He knows what he did. He knows what everybody did. So, it's kind of, he's passed away now. But my mom was already passed away. I wrote a letter to her, just telling her how horrible what she did to me had affected my life, and writing down all of the abuse and all of my feelings and thoughts on it. As well as I did that, I wrote a letter to my brother who sexually abused me. And I just told him exactly what I wanted to say. He's been gone since I was like 20. He committed suicide many years ago. So, but it was helpful. Those letters, I tore them up. So I don't have them. And I don't revisit them. But it was helpful to be able to do that because it allowed me to say what I needed to say as if I was going to tell them right to their face, And so it was helpful, I'd say it helped me a little bit. But mainly, I think what really helped me with my anger issues was doing that. This wouldn't just be for anybody. I would definitely check into it first before you try something like this. But the inner child work really did a lot of, it was very, very helpful for me to get through the anger, to get through the rage, and be able to deal on a regular basis and cope in my own personal life. That's made probably the biggest difference was the your Envisioned Mind program. But the other stuff was very helpful, too, and especially reading John Bradshaw's books and that Robert Burney. I found those really good, helpful for me, because they do have questions that you can ask yourself, write down the answers to, and it's very important to get in touch with this stuff. So that helped me out at the start of my healing journey, as well as support groups. And I'm still doing support groups. I facilitate 2 support groups and just online virtual support groups. But they're very, very helpful because they help with getting in touch with feelings and allowing these feelings to be brought up in a safe environment and then dealt with in a safe environment. And then they're no longer as harsh, and I can kind of deal with my days better, by doing that. So I think it's very important to get help. Whatever you do, decide to do therapy, counseling, whatever it is that you feel that you need, you have to be your own best advocate. You make the right choice for yourself, right? For me, I like self-help. I like a therapy support. I like not therapy support groups. I like support groups that are not therapy-based, just peer support. So child abuse survivor support groups. That's what I like because safety in numbers. And I don't want somebody getting inside my head trying to psychoanalyze me. I've been damaged enough, and I don't need somebody's untrained eye to get in there and start thinking that they know what they're going to know what I need to do when they don't. I know what I need to do. And it's like I'm my own best advocate. So I know what's good for me. You need to be the same way. You need to know you're in charge of your own healing journey. You have to be. And you have to be in charge of what you need. So you need to get your needs met, whatever it is. So whether it's a counselor, like I said, or a therapist or, some sort of therapy or therapy group or a support group of some type. That's what I really like. Get help. Do not suffer on your own. It's just a horrible situation. So we'll move on from there. We're going to look at, that was actually like the morning, how am I doing, morning reflection, how am I doing, what do I need to work on? I'm working on this sort of stuff here, working through grief, working through type of thing. I'm still working on this, and I think it probably will be forever. And so the next portion up is, so I want to do an hour, but unfortunately I can't do an hour unless I pay for the program, which I can't really do right now. Positive reinforcement, what are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives and progress instead of negative thoughts. So the next one up, this is from Havoka as well. This is Havoka self-esteem affirmations. You can find them right on their website. I respect myself. I respect all other persons, and all other people respect me. I could say that all day, and if I don't believe it, then it's not true. I respect myself, I respect all other persons, and all other people respect me. I guess I do in a certain way. I do respect myself, that's for sure. I don't always like the way I behave. That doesn't have anything to do with this. This is, I respect myself. I do respect myself. And I respect all other persons. As far as other human dignity goes, I do. I don't respect people that hurt people or people that are abusive. I don't have any respect for anybody who's abusive whatsoever. So I can't say that I respect all other persons. I don't respect anybody who abuses or hurts another person or anybody else. That's in a work situation, a friendship. I have a real problem with that stuff. Because I'm like, you know, I can see you all over. I can see abusers, like, you know, I grew up with abusers. I recognize abuse. It's you know, I recognize it. It's like, it's horrible. So when somebody's abusive and they act like it's not abuse, it's just, oh, no, it's not abuse. It's just that I'm the boss. And it's like, no, your behavior is abusive, you know. So I have a problem with that sort of stuff, authority figures being abusive, because I was abused by both of my parents, so. Yeah, highly abused, as well as an older sibling. So this is, I don't respect any authority figure until they show me and prove that they should be respected. That's a big issue for me, and I've got a problem with that. Because I'm not a doormat, and I don't allow people to mistreat me as an adult, right? So it's very difficult to get through life because there's people mistreating people all over the earth all the time. Bosses, landlords, anybody who's got something over you. Can do that, put you in a situation where they're not treating you right. And what do you do? Well, you either leave or, you know, first of all, I mean, I usually think about leaving, but nowadays I'm trying to actually work through stuff with people first. But then, you know, if it doesn't work out, which it doesn't always work out because that person may not stop doing what they're doing, which is abusive, you have to leave. Otherwise, you have to take it. And I refuse to take any more abuse off anybody. I'm tired of it. But the problem being is that it's always going to be there because people will always hurt people. And for me, I guess, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, all people deserve to be treated with dignity, with respect, with love, with care, compassion, empathy. But the problem being is that not everybody's doing that. So that's why there's these people hurting other people, right, and not making it right. So it's kind of disappointing. It's discouraging. You know, we'll never, I don't think, as people on the planet, get to the place here on our own where we're treating people right and we're treating ourselves right and treating other people right. So I think what it is when I'm dealing with somebody, I just realize that they deserve the same respect that I look for and the same dignity that I look for. I make mistakes, but I always apologize. And I always make sure that people know, yeah, I was wrong, I'm sorry, you know. But other people are not willing to do that quite often. People don't want to admit that they're wrong. They don't even see that they're wrong. Both of my parents thought that what they did was okay, especially my dad, because he was very psychologically ill, actually. Schizophrenic is borderline schizophrenic, but he was actually really schizophrenic. And also BDP, borderline personality disorder, he was diagnosed with. My mom was diagnosed borderline, what do you want to call that? Manic depressive. What do we want to call that? I forget what that's called now. But anyway, it used to be called manic depression. Oh, excuse me. Now it's called bipolar. Bipolar, that's what it is. And they didn't care. No. They thought what they did was just fine. You know. So you can't always get people to take responsibility for their actions and acknowledge that they were wrong. It's just the way it is. So, you know. Do I respect myself? I respect all other persons and all other people respect me. I do respect myself. I don't respect people who hurt people. I have no respect, zero respect for people that hurt other people. And all other people respect me. I don't care. I know that people don't respect me, and I really don't care. That, I'm not doing things for a pat on the back. I really don't care. Either like me or you don't. Because I've had to live my life, you know, showing up to school with bruises and scratches and dirty and wearing my pajamas sometimes, and which is really stupid but true, and you know wander around the neighborhood kind of looking a little lost most of the time, and hang out in the front yard with people watching my mom beat on me and stuff, and even my dad doing some of that. So I don't care if people respect me or not. I've already been so embarrassed in public that, and around other people that, you know, made fun of me, and kind of because of the situation I was growing up in, made a lot of fun of me actually. And so I don't care if people respect me or not. I had to grow a bit of a thick shell there, and which I'm kind of glad about, because I don't really do anything. I'm not people I want to say I'm not rewards motivated, wanting people to like me or accept me. I just do what I do. If people like me, they do. If they don't, they don't. I know there's always going to be some that won't. So that's fine. Whatever. I don't care if all people respect me. But I just don't allow abusive people in my life. So if a person wants to be around me, then they have to be thinking very carefully what they're doing around me. And also, when they do screw up, they need to apologize, just like I do. When I make a mistake, I need to apologize, and so do they. And I think that's what I require of all people. I don't really care if everybody respects me or not, but they just need to be treating me with the proper human dignity that I deserve, and that's the way that I want to treat them. And if I mess up, I need to apologize. If they mess up, they need to apologize. Because the minute they don't apologize, they're out of my life. I boot people out really quickly. So it doesn't take much. So I think that's the one way of respecting myself. I do not allow people to mistreat me. It means I'm very lonely. I don't have a lot of people in my life. But at the end of the day, I'm much happier because I don't allow people to mistreat me or take advantage of me, right? Which is very important, to not be re-victimized as a survivor of abuse, right? So that's that one. And next, we've only got a few minutes left here. Next, what we'll do is we'll look at self-care. What are we doing physically, spiritually, emotionally to take care of ourselves? What can we do? What can we work on to help ourselves, right? We haven't looked at these for a while, but I know for myself, physically, I was going to get on my rower. I still haven't done it. I bought this rower 2 years ago, and it's sitting right in front of me in the living room, and I just keep looking at it. It's dusty. I need to dust it off. But anyway, I need to get on there and use that thing. I am working on cutting back on my smoking, which is great, and also self-care. I'm working on taking care of myself a little bit better these days, which is good. Doing a little bit more work on it. Spiritually, I don't have a problem with that. I'm spiritually well. Emotionally, I'm still working on it. Physically, I'm still working on it. So there's this meditation quilt square meditation thing from IrvingStudios.com. Michael C. Irving, he's a sculptor, he's a survivor, he's a psychotherapist. He's got a website called Child Abuse Survivor Monument. If you just type into your browser Irving Studios Child Abuse Survivor Monument, it'll come up, and he has a survivor information tab that you can go to. And under that is the meditation gallery, which is really some cool stuff here. So a quilt meditation square they have here. They have music that's associated with it. You can click on the little links for music and stuff. It's really nice. This one's on healing anger. The last one we looked at was, no, the last one we looked at, oh yeah, was healing anger. This one is the same one, but we'll look at it again because we're looking at anger. So it says here, you have a right to be angry, and you have a right to let go of the anger. Breathe in empowering energy. Breathe out the anger. These things I've actually done. I've done all of these. Breathe in new freedom. Breathe out the anger. Breathe in cleansing energy. Allow the anger to be replaced by calm. See your anger dissolve into a hot color. And let the color flow out the ends of your hands. Allow a soothing color to fill the space the anger has left. You have paid enough for the abuse. You deserve to be free of the anger, fear, and hurt. That's awesome. I really like that. And we will just do we don't have time for a coping mechanism, really. But you can get that information from Child Abuse Survivor Monument, Irving Studios. And I would check it out. They've got some really good coping skills, coping stuff there, coping and boundary work and all that. Very good stuff. And I've gone through all of it, actually, over the years. Really good stuff. Helped me out a lot when I first started my healing journey. And we'll do a Brady quote. And how about we'll do one on love. Brady quote. This is, keep love in your heart. A life without it is like a sunless garden when the flowers are dead. Oscar Wilde. That's awesome. Keep love in your heart. A life without it is like a sunless garden when the flowers are dead. Isn't that the truth? Keep love in your heart. Love for yourself, love for life, you know, because I know it's no good to be the other way. It's really not. Keep loving your heart. So I wish you a wonderful week, everybody. I wish I could have stayed on an hour, but you take good care of yourselves. If you're struggling, like I always say, get help, you know, reach out, call a crisis line. That's what I already made a promise to myself. I'll reach out, I'll get help, I'll call a crisis line, but I'm not going to give up, and I don't want you to give up either, ever. Take good care of yourselves and have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next time.